All right. It's been a long time since I've preached. Been a long time since I've recorded anything. And don't get me wrong, God called me to preach. And I do believe that a man needs to be called to preach. Amen.
Amen.
It was a sad day in my life when God did call me to preach. My father left my mother. They'd been married for like 40 years. And I couldn't believe it. And it was the saddest day of my life. And yet in the midst of that sadness, God called me to preach. And all I said was, Lord, are you sure? And I think you ought to make your call and election sure. I don't think anyone should do anything without God leading in it. A lot of things in life, there may be a little old, you might have to step out of the boat. There may be a little old place there where you got to make a step. But I'll tell you one thing, if God's with you, you'll make it. Amen. As a matter of fact, Peter said, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability. And if God don't give no ability, well, we've met for naught here this morning. Let's open our Bibles this morning, Hebrews chapter number 11. And I do desire your prayers. We were on our knees early this morning, late last night. Not only praying for Brother Wayne for this service today. And we need the help of God. I tell you, our country's in trouble. One reason it's in trouble, I don't believe we're praying like we ought to. Another reason, I don't believe we're preaching like we ought to. God, He chose the foolishness of preaching. He sent a preacher named Jonah down to Nineveh. And he didn't want to go, but he finally did go. But when he finally did get there and preached, 120,000 souls that didn't know their left hand from their right hand repented. And God spared that great city. And even Jesus said they repented at the preaching of Jonah. We need preaching today. We need praying today. I'll tell you right now, buddy, don't leave nothing to chance. Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll read verse number 5. We'll go to God in prayer. Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, it's our text, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And I want to preach today on what will you leave behind. And I ask you right now to pray with us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, we know we dwell amidst a crooked and perverse nation. Lord, I see America condemned sin. And I know your Word says righteous exalt a nation, but sin's a reproach to any people. I see America, Lord, that, in need, Lord, of returning to God. And I don't know that it ever will. But God, we pray for this great country. Lord, used to stand 10 feet tall for God. Used to have foundation. And Lord, this seemed like, Lord, everything that America's ever stood for is under attack. We just pray, God, today, you give us clarity of thought and speech. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd move upon the hearts that are here, including my own today. Lord, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if I was the first one on the altar saying, Lord, I'm sorry. May we be challenged in our heart. May our eyes be open. May our ears be unstopped to the truth of your great word. We know, Lord, you said men ought not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. Most of us don't know enough Bible, Lord, to even know, Lord, what a challenge that is to live by the word of God. Help us today and bless us, I pray. We'll give you praise and glory for anything said and done. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. I'm going to take my jacket off. I'm a little warm here this morning. What will you leave behind? Nothing. Yeah, you'll leave something behind. Yeah. Yeah, I do a lot of funerals. A lot of them. Matter of fact, the Bible said Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We chose death. Could have had eternal life. God gave Adam one commandment, just one. He couldn't keep it. Since he broke that one commandment, the Bible said by one man, sin entered into the world. Mm-hmm. Death by sin. That's where it came from. All God said of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Let me tell you something. God said what he meant, man, what he said. Adam disobeyed God. His motivation, like Christ, was love. The Bible said he wasn't deceived in the transgression. He just don't want to live without his wife. I wish we had some men like that today. Amen. Me and my wife, we've been married 41 years. Poor thing. It's took its toll on her. Been a blessing to me, brother. I have to admit, I sat down at her table 41 years ago, and I knew right then she was going to be my wife. Amen. Man, she could outcook my mom. Amen. But listen, you'll leave something behind. Some preacher, he'll have to do your funeral. I remember my cousin got killed in a trucking accident. His wife came to me at his funeral, Tammy. She said, "Tell me my husband's in heaven." I said, "Tammy, I wished I could. I don't have anything to base that on." She said, "I need to know." I said, I wish. You know, you're grabbing at straws. Just give me anything. I didn't have nothing to give her. From what I could give her, wasn't much hope of him being in heaven. But we'll let God be the judge of that. I'm thinking there'll be a lot of surprises when we get to heaven. Probably a lot of people there we wasn't expecting. Probably a lot of people won't be there that we thought would surely be there. Right. One day somebody will have to do your funeral. You know, if you loved your family, and you should, no matter what kind of criticism the devil's put in your heart about your family, you'll just realize by your mom and dad you got here. And you'll just realize, mom and dad, those children are a gift from God. God trusts you, that little bundle of flesh. The Bible said children are heritage of the Lord. And it says the fruit of the womb is his reward. Bless this man's got his quiver full of them. You know, instead of making such a big ado about you, just count your blessings, name them one by one. Mm. It'd probably surprise you if you looked around and said, "I'm blessed." That's right. We spend too much time murmuring, complaining. I catch myself. It ain't like I'm throwing any rocks here this morning. But I'll tell you one thing, life's short. Your life's but a vapor, James said, appears for a little while. I believe it's Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, said, "Lord, teach us to number our days. We may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I'm looking in your face this morning. Y'all looking in mine. An old song used to say, "Someone will be called out to face eternity. We know not who it will be. Maybe it's you or maybe it's me." What will you leave behind? What kind of testimony will you leave behind? You know, old Felix there in Acts chapter 25, he called old Paul, wanted to hear him concern his faith, and Paul unloaded on old Felix. The Bible said old Felix trembled there a little bit. He said, "Go thy way, Paul. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you." Amen. Listen, salvation ain't a matter of convenience. Right. And Felix took the place of, Festus took the place of Felix the governor. And Festus heard old Paul, and he said, "Paul, you crazy, boy. You know, you probably think old Brother Eddie's crazy," and all other preachers stood for the Word of God. So you got one man he left behind a testimony. "When I got a more convenient season, I'll call for you." Listen, he never did. No more is mentioned in the Bible about Felix. Festus said, "Paul, you're crazy. Much learning has made you mad." Not another word mentioned about Festus. You got old King Agrippa there. Paul said, "King Agrippa, I know that. I believe it's the prophet." He said, "Almost. You persuaded me to be a Christian." There's three testimonies right off the bat. What will yours be? "Oh, I said it not. I sat there in church. I heard the Word of God. I felt God tug on my heart. My heart beat like a jungle drum." You know, the Bible talks about being in a battle of decision. Talks about the harvest is past. And we're still not saved. How many days has gone by? And like a Russian roulette, you said, "I'll get," you know, the devil. One thing the devil's good at doing, my wife calls me a procrastinator, and that's true. I can't deny it. I'm good at one thing, and that's putting things off. And I didn't get saved when I was 34 years old, and I just thank God that He did allow me space of 34 years to repent. Now, I don't know how much space He gave Jezebel. I don't know if it's that much, or maybe even that much. I do know this. He said in Revelation chapter number 2, "I gave her space to repent." And he went on to say, "And she repented not." That's right. Well, I'll tell you, I might have been a late bloomer, but I got in. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, I have to admit, I've kind of broke the mold. My mama called me a fanatic because I went to her and said, Mama, I got saved." And she said, "Look in your, when you get home, look at the word fanatic." That's what you are. There ain't a thing wrong with that. Man, Jesus said, "Who will love me the most?" Yeah. He's been forgiven of much. He's been forgiven a little. I couldn't believe God would save someone like me. I couldn't believe He could forgive me all I'd done, but He did.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Man, you're talking about a fool for Christ. I'm definitely guilty. Brother Melvin knows me. I tell you, I didn't know anything. Didn't know enough Bible. Blow my nose. Rick Bibber preaching like a wild man. I stand up and say, Brother Rick, what's this mean? And he had enough grace about him. He said, Brother, we'll talk about that here in a minute after the service. I know a little more Bible now than I did then, but I didn't know no Bible. But I'll tell you one thing, I knew I was lost. Mm-hmm. If you know you're lost, then you know you need to get saved. Now I'll tell you, buddy, God said that we need to be taught to number our days. I sat down at the table in 1995, May the 30th, across from me was a 17-year-old blue-eyed, blonde-headed little girl. And I was glad to see her. We was making small talk. She was talking about her boyfriend. And that being her father, I was having a ball. I was running him down, that little wormy thing. And you know how dads are, you know, and she's taking it. And I had no idea, Brother Melvin, that was the last time I was ever going to look in her beautiful eyes. You see, you just don't know what a day is going to be. Both night or tomorrow. We just don't know. And on that beautiful Sunday day, as I looked in the eyes of this 17-year-old girl, that, matter of fact, just been 17 one week, they make caskets this long. They make some a little bigger. I still remember my wife picking hers out. It was tough. That's the way life is. You're going to leave something behind. Somebody's going to do the aftermath. Somebody's going to say they should have got saved. Or somebody's going to say, I knew where they're going to be. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the sorrow night is others will have no hope. Don't leave your family without hope. Leave them a thread of hope to know where you're at, amen. Man, that's a blessing. I don't mind doing funerals. But I really enjoy it, Brother David, when I got a testimony to go with, amen. I mean, my aunt called me up. She said, will you do my dad's funeral, John David Smith? I said, sure I will. I was at that funeral home, and when they turned the service over to me, I got up there and spoke on behalf of her father. Her son sat right here, honorary pallbearer. Within 2 weeks, I'd done his funeral. Sitting back behind him, his aunt, my aunt, by where you're sitting, young lady. I'd done another funeral. Within a month, done 3 funerals. One in the middle, only by his mother, is the only evidence I had that I might see him in heaven. I'd been with this young man. I had never heard anything concerning God other than using his name in vain. But I didn't, I'm not going to say he's not going to be there. Wished I had a better hope that he'd be there. But that last funeral, that's a blessing to Aunt June's funeral. She used to take me to church when I was a little boy. Man, I was a handful. I appreciate y'all working with these young people. I was a handful. And I done her funeral. I remember doing her funeral. I said, you know, a long time ago, my aunt used to haul me to the church in her station wagon. And she didn't know she was hauling the preacher around. And I didn't know one day I'd be preaching her funeral. But what a blessing it is. Amen. But you're going to leave something behind. Oh, yeah. Rich woman died and two lawyers was talking about her estate. One of them asked the other, said, how much did she leave behind? He said, everything. Mm-hmm. I have yet to do a funeral, Brother Melvin. They had a U-Haul behind it. You know, some of you look at me like a calf looking at a gate. You know, my daughter didn't know. I didn't know. My wife didn't know. Only on the calendar of God. Hebrews 9:27 says, as is appointed unto man. You listen to me this morning, please. As it's appointed unto man, once to die.
Amen.
Man, you're talking about a time of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we got people cutting people's heads off, hollering Allah Akbar, coming in and shooting up churches. Man, you're talking about a time of uncertainty. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Death is coming, riding a fast horse. David said, there's but a step between me and death. You know, I know death's something we don't like to talk about. But I don't mind talking about it all, brother. About all man can do with me, just threaten me with heaven. Amen. Right. I tell you what, I pillow my head at night. If the head of ISIS said, we're coming to your house tonight, we're going to cut your head off, I say, help yourself, son. You'll have to pick it up by one of my ears. There ain't enough hair but to pick it up. It'll be no trophy. Amen. Who's he'll harm you if you be followers of him? Amen. We're more than conquerors through Christ. Yeah, boy, that's kind of good. You know, I ain't got no bulletproof vest. And yet no weapon formed against me or prosper, Brother Zane. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, it's good to be saved. It's good to peel your head at night. And have the peace that passes all understanding to know that all you can do is maybe wake up in heaven. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't pillow my head if I was lost. I still remember a young boy about 10 years old laying in his bed afraid to close his eyes because he didn't know where he'd be if he died. My mama, we might not have been a model Christian home, but I do remember my mama coming in there with her little toy boy. We kneeled down there by the bedside and we pray. We didn't know no prayer. We just, now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And we say, God bless Mama and Papa and Papa Ed and Mama May and Uncle Lady Ellen and Aunt June. We go down the list there, you know. What about you? Now, how are you going to pillow your head? What kind of testimony? Boy, it's rough. It's rough when you got to go pick a coffin out. It's rough when you got to get things together. I still remember being at the hospital that day, that dreadful day. Man, there's a lot of good testimonies in the Bible, and there's some pretty rough. On that beautiful Sunday day, eat dinner with my daughter, enjoyed her company, and she left that day and drove home to our house. I spent Sundays with my mom because Dad had left her. I was trying to be a comfort to her, tried to comfort him. Man, what a mess. Listen, if you're married here today, the Bible said in the book of Malachi, God hates putting away. I mean, Jesus said, for the hardness of your heart, God granted a divorce. But he did say, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. If you're struggling in your marriage, go get some help. Get down and say, Lord, do like I did. I kneeled down and I said, Lord, thank you for my wife. Help me be the husband she needs me to be so that she can be the wife I need her to be. Just humble yourself. You see, God exalts humble. You're so full of pride, God can't even help you. Get rid of that pride like a skin on a snake. Shed that thing. Get rid of it. Don't let pride get in the way of living for God. That's what's wrong with America now. We think we're so big, we can just do anything. We don't need the help of God no more. I'll tell you what, buddy, them twin tires fail. For just one little minute, America humbled itself. Didn't they have traffic jams trying to get the house of God? Just one minute, men's hearts were turned to God. Boy, I wish we had some more tires fall. I really do, Brother David. If it took that to get us humble, I wish we had some more of that. What will you leave behind? Well, Brother Eddie, you know, I'm pretty good. Are you good enough to walk alongside Jesus and be as good as him? That's how good you'll have to be to go into heaven. Matter of fact, I can. He put his clothing up on me. Paul said, being found in him, not having my own righteousness, but your righteousness of Christ imputed to me. He put that coat on me, and now I'm accepted in the Beloved. Now I'm seated together in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. You're here today, and you're taking a chance on eternity, ending up in a devil's hell. Jesus said in Matthew 25:41, that he made hell for the devil and his angels. You ain't got no business. So you'd be trespassing to go to hell. But I'll tell you one thing. You better get to Jesus, or you're going to leave behind a tragedy instead of a testimony. You're going to leave behind a testimony like this. Almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Oh, when I got a more convenient season, I'll call for you, Brother Eddie. That Brother Eddie, he's crazy. Oh, friend, listen today. God gave me this beautiful day. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Amen. I wonder why I don't say tomorrow, Brother David. That ain't on everybody's calendar, you know what I mean? I mean, here we are, living amongst the living and the dead. Man, oh man, oh man. It's quiet in here. I ain't come out here to cause such a trouble, but I'll tell you right now, buddy, if I don't warn you, God will require your blood in my hand. I was going to work one night, Brother David, and you know how it is, you're always going to work, you're running late anyway. And I slid in there. You remember back when it used to be consumers before they put a shell there? Well, back when it was consumers, Brother Zane, I slid in there, my big Ford F-150 there. Man, had that thing all shined up, man. John, 18-year-old John, come out there flaming red hair. And matter of fact, he didn't die, he just born with it. He come out there. What you need, I said, fill up, John. He's filling my truck up, Brother Melvin. God spoke to my heart. Go back there and talk to him about his soul. You know, sometimes we need plugging in a little bit. I wasn't plugged in good enough that night, I don't believe. I'm digging through there. I'm trying to find the perfect teenage track to give this young boy. You know how it is, you know. By the way, he that winneth souls is wise, and a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. It is important. I mean, the power of life, death, and a tongue. It is important. I thought maybe I might not just get but one chance to talk to this young boy. I finally got me a track out, got out of my truck. I walked back there, Brother John, he filling my truck up with gas. And I said, and before I could get a word out, a man walked in between me and him and started talking to John. You know, we see in part, know in part, see through a glass darkly. I just didn't know what was really going on here. And I went back, got my truck, and I was dumb enough to think I'll talk to him about it next time. He died that night. That night. 18-year-old John had him a leather jacket, had him a Harley Davidson motorcycle, had him a girlfriend, went to a party that night. Oh, I've done it myself. I don't know why we do. It's like we're just playing with death. I don't know. He went to a party that night. He's drinking. He's got a gun. He's playing with this gun. His girlfriend said, John, put that gun up or you hurt somebody. He said, it ain't even loaded, and blowed his brains out. And that's his testimony. You see, the Bible said in Proverbs 29, verse 1, he had been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. John didn't leave behind a good testimony. I'm sure somebody, you know, fabricated something. Oh, he's a good boy. Look, by the way he died, you're going to have a hard time, though, Brother Eddie. Let me tell you something. I look at the obituary a lot. I've noticed there's one thing you can kind of keep in mind. The Bible said in Psalms 55, the last verse, blood and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. Our days are 70. If by strength they be 80, then we're cut off. We fly away. I see these people dying around the age of 40. I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, was it well with their soul? Are they leaving behind a testimony? They didn't live out half their days. Buddy, this ain't no fairy tale. God's real. I still remember the day he took his rightful place upon the throne of my heart. I knew what it meant to be saved. I knelt down, lost a ghost in a snowstorm, lost a goose in a snowstorm. Well, I don't know how in the world that peppermint fell out of there, but I'm going to retrieve it. That might come in handy, amen. I knelt down there that day. Let me tell you a little bit, old Brother Eddie. I was a drunk. If you'd ever pulled me over, Brother Zane, I would never pass the breathalyzer test. How I was able to drive that intoxicated this day, it had to be the mercy and grace of God. It said the Lord's mercy, we're not consumed. Had now his mercy is new every morning. It had to be his mercy manifested in my life. Because I'll tell you, I was not in a condition to be behind a steering wheel. My wife told me about my cousin's wife getting saved. Her name is Sandra Ford. And my wife been married to this man, Eddie Wade, at that time, 13 years. It'd been literally hell. She should have shot me. Should have left me. She didn't know neither one of them, but she never gave up neither, Brother David. Yeah. She said, I just thought you might want to know. Now listen, this is my drinking buddy here. And his wife's got saved. The first thing come to my heart, I'm thinking lose my drinking buddy. So I loaded my vehicle down, you know, and I mean, I drove over to his house like a fool. I said, come out here, I need to talk to you. And his wife, I could tell looking in her eyes, she wasn't real pleased with me being there. I wasn't a good influence. Some of you hang around people that ain't a good influence to you. The Bible said, come out among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my daughters and sons. You know, corrupt good communication corrupts good manners. Mm-hmm. Reason I started cussing, I started hanging around people as cussing. Reason I started drinking, I started hanging around people as drinking. Get out of that mess. Buddy, you just got one chance. Now you saved, you ought not be doing it anyway, because I tell you what, you're bringing reproach on Christ. But if you're lost, you for sure don't need to be doing it. Because the devil, he already trying to kill you. All he's wanting is advantage. You know, I ain't going to go down that rabbit trail, but I'd like to. Anyway, I got over to his house, and man, he's shaking like a leaf. He's telling me about his wife getting saved, and man, he's like me, we're having a hard time with it. We don't know about this salvation, man. We're both drunks. I told him, I said, you better get you another one of them tall boy past blue ribbons. It might be your last. And you ain't going to get to go drink with me on Sunday. You ain't going to get to go fishing with me on Sunday. We're talking like fools talk. You know what he said? He said, Eddie, he said, if you think that's something, he said, Sandy's going to get baptized 2 weeks from now. Guess who's the next one lying behind her when she got baptized? Ain't that like God? Amen. Have a little humor. Amen. It was me. Well, anyway, we out there, and I give her down the road, and I'm shaking my fist. I'm daring God just to meddle with me. I thought I was a man's man. Oh, Lord. I'm glad God has some humor. And I left him that night, drove home, and I told him, I said, it's on Saturday night. I said, in the morning, I'm going to go fishing. If you want to go, you can go, and if you don't, I don't want to use the language I use, but you know what, with you. And I drove home that night. And Brother Zane, like a slot car, I'd clean this ditch out a while. And then I'd clean that ditch out a while. And lucky nobody else was on the highway. 90 mile an hour like an idiot. He's pulled him over, I'm sure. How much he had to drink, too much. Well, that was me. And the next morning, I'm getting up and I'm still drunk. I hate to tell you, it's kind of like Paul. I was a blasphemer. I was injurious to the work of God. But Jesus, man, he had mercy. I got up the next morning, and man, my head a throbbing. I'm getting dressed to go fishing. My bedroom door opened up, and a little 8-year-old boy come in there in the bedroom with his daddy. And I looked at the little old boy, and his little old lip was shaking, tears running off his cheeks. Walked up to his 200-plus pound drunk daddy and said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? Well, I'll just tell you the only way I know how to say that. For the first time in my life, I saw the real Eddie Wade. Boy, that was something else. I've been seeing what I wanted to see for 34 years. But for the first time in my life, I saw the real Eddie Wade. I saw the fool I'd been for all them years, you know. Man, I tell you what, it sobered me up quite a bit. I fell down to my knees. I choked on the words. I for sure didn't want to tell him. I just couldn't figure out no way out of this mess. I told him, I said, of course, Daddy, go to church with you today. He went running down the hall. Mama, Mama, Daddy's going to church with me today. And I'm back there in World War III with the devil, sin and self. You done it now. Anyway, I got dressed with my family that day. I got over in that parking lot. They went on into church like good saved people do. And I'm sitting outside there, buddy, trying to talk myself. How can I get out of this mess? Trying to talk myself out of going into that church. The devil told me, he said, you know, if you go over and look, if you open up that door, they're going to look down their nose at you and say, who brought him in here? By the way, he's a liar and father of it. Remember that. And I went over and opened up that door, and that pastor, they bound to smelt me, just seemed to open up that door. He come running over. He said, come on in here. We're glad to have you. And I sat back on the back. You know how you do? You know, I mean, I thought I might have to leave, you know. I sat back on the back, and praise God, he held no punches. I mean, he preached like I'm preaching to you this morning. He let it rip. I got mad. I thought, my wife has told him everything I've ever done. When we get home, it's on, buddy. Then I got mad at him. I thought, who's he think he is? I was going to hit him in the mouth on the way out the door. But I'll tell you what, buddy, when they got to singing Just As I Am without one plea, they just about had to pick me up and carry me out of there. Boy, the preparation of hearts of the Lord. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain. God was working on old Eddie Wade. He'd added up to here with my ways. He's given me one more chance, Dave. And they gave that invitation, and I so help me God, I wanted to come forward. I didn't know what to do. I'd never been in a church mouth or nothing. When I went with my grandmother, I mean, it was lace on underwear, kind of preaching, you know, I mean, it wasn't no conviction or nothing. He said, "Won't you come? Won't you please come?" And I went up there, and everybody's crying. And I thought, what are they crying about? We've come to Jesus. But I'll tell you what, this time I knew what it's all about. Man, I'll tell you what, I was as good as in hell. And I knew I needed to get saved. I knew right then, buddy. I've been dodging this now. I couldn't dodge it no more. It's bigger than me. I worked at R. Donnelly & Sons. Worked there for 32 years. And I worked with a man. You listen to me if you are saved. You work with people that's lost. I worked with a man that he knew I was lost. He was saved. I knew he was saved. And he always tried to tell me about Jesus. And I'd always try to avoid it and evade it. But he never gave up. And I talked the kind of talk he didn't really want to hear. He let me know he didn't want to hear it, but he let me know it in love. I was mean. I still tried to do it. But anyway, when I got under conviction, I thought, if I can just get the window, he'd tell me how to be saved. Now you listen, I'll help you if you're here lost this morning. I went out to that R. Donnelly's, 10 acres underneath the roof, and I'm looking frantically for Wendell Shaw. And I'm asking people, where's Wendell? I got to find Wendell. Eddie, we're busy. We ain't got time. We don't know. Finally, one boy headed up to here. He said, I think he's in the foreman's office. And I went to the foreman's office, and sure enough, he was in there. He's in there with the foreman. They're talking about printing. I opened up that door. I said, look, I don't care what neither one of y'all's talking about. I said, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I need somebody to tell me how to be saved. I wish I had a picture of them boys' face when I said that. You're talking about a moment. That foreman, he quoted about five or six verses to me, like, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, and sir, call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved, marvel not of sin, he must be born again. I mean, quoted a few verses, but the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. They're foolishness to him. But I'll tell you what Wendell did. Wendell said, hey, I want us to leave right now. We walked out of that foreman's office. People brushing our shoulders on each side right there in that hall between the foreman's office and the men's bathroom. They hadn't put that third one up yet. We just had men and women, you know. But anyway, we're walking out there and you know, people brushing our shoulders on each side. You know, Wendell Shaw told me, David, he said, Eddie, Jesus loves you, Eddie.
Yeah.
He said he wants to save you, Eddie.
That's right.
He said he's just waiting for you to ask him. I had never heard it that simply put. He said, let me give you an illustration. He said, if your little boy done something wrong, he come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, well, Wendell, I'd forgive him. He said, same way with God. You can't imagine how much faith come up in my heart. Matter of fact, the next verse that I just read tonight, or this morning, Hebrews 11:5, I read Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I tell you right now, I have enough faith now to seek God, and I knew right then that I could get saved. I knew right then if I just asked Jesus, he saved me. I couldn't wait till Sunday. I know that sounds far-fetched to some of you. This is bigger than me. It's like a woman getting ready to give birth to a child. They couldn't wait till Sunday. I'm sure some of you women can understand what I'm trying to say here. It was travail in my soul. David talked about the pains of hell. Got a hold of him like a woman in travail with child. That's the way it was with me. I drove home, 9000 Ebony Road. Went back out of our back bedroom. I knelt down there. I didn't have no preacher's prayer. I knelt down and I said, dear Lord, somebody told me you love me. Somebody told me that if I'd ask you to forgive me my sins, you'd save my soul. I said, Lord, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me. And to my amazement, the amazement of everybody else, God saved Eddie Wade, April 27th, 1988. The simplicity of Christ is if you can realize you're lost, if you can just get to Jesus, you can get saved.
That's right. Yeah.
He said in John chapter 6, he said, him that cometh me, I'll no wise turn him away. Yeah. He said, John 5:40, you will not come to me that you may have. See, the problem's not on his end. That's the problem's not on his end. The problem's on your end.
Yeah.
You won't come to him. I did. Man, I tell you, that was a blessing. Oh, me. Just as soon as I said, Lord, the best way I know how, I'm asking you right now to forgive me my sins, save my soul. All my condemnation, all my guilt left immediately. And the peace that passes all understanding took its place. The joy unspeakable full of glory was so great. Brother David, I got up, went over and looked in the mirror. I guess I thought I was going to see a halo. The horns are still there. There wasn't really no visible difference on the outside. But boy, it's different on the inside. Amen. I couldn't wait. Amen. Went all over Glasgow apologizing to people. Give them a cussing, bragging about how drunk I was going to get. I said, I've been saved since then. I want you to forgive me. Man, kind of like Zacchaeus. If I wronged any man, I was restoring fourfold. Half of my goods I give to the poor. Man, what an extreme makeover Jesus does. All the regret I got, I wish I'd done it sooner. Amen. Listen, you're going to leave something behind.
That's right.
You sure are. On a day just like today, beautiful, 22nd day of May, somebody is going to set it naught. Somebody, maybe you. It ain't going to be me. My heart's fixed. Hey, he established my goings. He put a song in my heart, even praised his name. I'm still praising him, amen. Somebody ain't going to be like that. Somebody, your family's going to be heartbroken. Man, they're going to call the preacher. They're going to say, can you please comfort us? And the preacher, he ain't going to have nothing to give. Because see, you didn't leave behind no thread of hope. You didn't leave behind a testimony of the saving grace of God. You didn't leave nothing behind. Except you went the way of all the world. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, broad's the way it leads to destruction. We take polls nowadays, so listen. Many there be that enter in thereat. He said, narrow's the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. I'm one of those few. Yeah, I might have been a drunk. But I'll tell you what, it's been 28 years since one's touched my lips. I thank God for that because he sets captives free. He's the only one who could set this captive free, and he did. I don't cuss no more. Man, you'll find me in the house of God. What about you? How's it going to be with you? What are they going to say when they call family by your bedside, by your graveside, at the funeral home? How's it going to be with you? What's going to be said about you? Only you can answer that. I ain't got a clue. Somebody's going to be heartbroken or somebody's going to say, you know, the Bible said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Saul not as others without no hope. If we believe Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even them that sleep in Christ Jesus will God bring with him when he comes. It says, wherefore comfort one another. These words, I cut a little bit of that out. But it's a comfort to know. And I'll see my daughter again. I'll see my dad, my mom, a whole lot of my family. I'm the last Mohican. I'm about it. Ain't nothing left of the Wade family. Praise God, I'm in a big family now, Brother David.
Yes.
Now, I kind of left out the old notes up there. Following leadership of God. What about you? Amen. What are you going to leave behind? This man here, he getting ready to give an invitation on him. You know what you're going to do? You're going to either set like a statue during an invitation on him. Or you're going to give Jesus reward of his suffering. You're going to come forward and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I should have done this. But if you'll have me, I sure like to surrender my white flag. Today, I want to surrender all. And I want you to save my soul here today. Whatever it is you're holding on to, you're going to leave that cell phone behind. You're going to leave that Facebook account behind. You're going to leave that real nice car behind. You don't leave all that silver, all that gold behind. There's only one thing. What's it going to be when the great white throne says, the books are open. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast alive in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Listen, that's not a fairy tale. That's a loving warning.
That's right.
All I can tell you about John is this right here. I got his blood on my hand. There's nothing I can do about it. I'll tell John I'm sorry. I believe that the young boy that stepped in between us was probably sent by Satan. But I had a willingness in my heart to go talk to an 18-year-old red-headed boy about his soul and a Brother Zane. He might not have got saved. He met through the track in my face. But I could have got his blood off my hands.
That's right.
Ain't anything I can do about that. I didn't know he was going to die that night. If some of you look at me right now, thinking you got eternity, hope you do. I know one thing. Praise God. I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. One of these days, old brother Eddie, take his last breath, and I'll be like Enoch. I'll make my transition. What will I leave behind? Old brother Eddie, he loved the Lord. He lived for the Lord. Man, he bragged on Jesus all the days of his life. Well, I wish, I'm kind of like Paul. I wish that was, he said about Ken Gribble, he said, would to God you was all like me, except for these bonds. Here he was bound. He said, I wish you just like me, except for these bonds. Change these shackles. Well, you can do something about that. And you know what? We can all gather around your funeral. If it was to come, God forbid. But if it was to come, we can all say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I know where I see brother so-and-so. I know where I see sister so-and-so. I still remember the day when they come out and made the best train ever. They got a home in heaven, streets of gold, amen. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world, lost his soul? It'd be a bad trade. Jesus looked upon Jerusalem, wept over it. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and them that are sent unto thee. How long you'd come to me, I'd have gathered your children as a hen doeth her brood, but you would not. Whew. That's about the sum of America. I wish we would get back in touch with God.
Amen.
Listen, let me tell you just a few things here real quick here. Enoch left behind a good testimony. Demas left behind testimony. He loved the Lord more than God. Jezebel left testimony behind. She ran out of time. That farmer in Luke chapter 12, he left behind a testimony too. Boy, he's having a good day, Brother David. Crops brought forth plentiful. Man, he had more than he knew what to do with. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Soul that has much good, later for many years. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. The Bible said, God come to him that night and said, thou fool, this night thy soul should be required of thee. Whence shall those goods be? You better leave something behind. There's going to be a lot of heartbroken people if you don't. I've been to some funerals, buddy, and mama tried to get in the coffin. Daddy, you couldn't comfort some of them. I'll tell you what's really good. When they say it's just goodbye for now, not forever. I'm going to ask right now everybody to stand and really give some thought to what this preacher said. How's it going to be with you? What will be said at your obituary? What will you leave behind? Have you got a testimony? Does anybody know you've been saved? Could someone comfort those that are they're like a, the Lord said about a Rachel said she couldn't be comforted. They killed her children there. Talked about she couldn't be comforted because they weren't comforted. Could you leave behind something that your family could say, I got a thread of hope? You know, Rahab the harlot, at least she had a thread of hope. She said, I'm going to hang this thread in our window. That's all I got the hope on. But I'll tell you what, buddy, it got her through when those walls fell in Jericho. She had that thread of hope. Have you got something like that? Oh, brother Eddie, I'm just a man. You know, the Bible said Lazarus was just a man like passion. I'm just a man. You don't have to worry about old brother Eddie. What about standing before God if you have to today? Enoch said, it's well my soul. The Bible said he walked with God 300 years after he begot Methuselah in Genesis chapter 5. 365 days. He's 65 years old. God blessed him with that boy. Could it be a testimony about you? You walked with God, loved the Lord. You can do something about that here today. You can leave out of this service today with regret of wishing you had a We just don't know this side of that door what's out there. On days like today, somebody may fall prey. Father, we thank you. And Lord, we've done the best we could. We certainly don't have no boast in any way. I pray, dear Father God, something that maybe was said here this morning, Holy Spirit can move upon it. I pray, Lord, for that Holy Spirit witness, Lord. We know, Lord, that that Spirit of God is the only thing that can get a hold of someone. We know, Lord, there's nothing we can do except, Lord, let you do your mighty works. I pray you will here this morning. Search the hearts, Lord. And I pray, God, every soul will be in subjection to your submission. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.
Would you turn with us to number 123?
I wouldn't wait on the invitation. You need to come. Don't let the devil talk yet. I want you to just come on right now. Well, he's awful rough, preacher. Might be the last time I get to see you. I don't want your blood on my hands. What about it this morning? Sin oppressed, mercy with the Lord. Only you know. Wouldn't it be good to give your family some comfort concerning where your soul is going to spend eternity? You know, Paul told Tim that he said, lay hold on eternal life. Be an example of a believer. Word and deed. He'll save you. But only if you come and ask him. What are you waiting on? Says to bestow. Don't wait, friend. Don't give that devil an opportunity to beat you out of heaven. You know that woman that issue of blood? She said, if I can just get to Jesus, I can be made whole. You come this morning if you need to come. Come right now. Well, what do they think, Brother Ed? I'll tell you what they'll think. They'll think you're smart. They'll think you've done the right thing.
He will save you.
He will save you now.
Yes, Jesus.
The way that leads you into rest.
Believe in Him without delay,
and you are fully blessed. Have you trusted Him?
Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him
now.
He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
Come
on!
Don't let the devil beat you out of it. Get somebody by the hand. Go with me. I got to get to Jesus. Don't take a chance. The Bible said the devil has a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's one to devour you.
Come on. Only trust him. Only trust him.
Thank you, Brother David. I'm going to turn the service over, Brother David. Where I go to church at, we sit down after the offering plate passes you. And of course, you know how it is. I didn't know how it was here, and I'm sitting down there thinking, man, I ain't in Bethel. So I'm going to let him...